The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
The Eric Stewart Show. This is Pointing You Home.
Pointing You Home.
All you need to know about buying, selling, and everything in between. Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning, Washington. This is the Eric Stewart Show, and I'm pointing you home in the first half, and on the second half, I will be giving you some seniors' solutions. For my 16 years that I've been on the air, I've tried to bring you the truth in real estate. That's buying, selling, and everything in between. And fiduciary relationship between a client and their agent is of the greatest concern to everybody who's going to buy or sell. It doesn't matter whether they're young or old. Doesn't matter whether they've sold 25 houses or about to sell their first. The confidence that you, as a home seller, have in the agent that you hire to sell your property has to be unquestionable. And it has to come from a consistency of quality communication as much as it comes from the consistency of protection of your interests through the entirety of a transaction. Today, I want to chat about fiduciary relationship because the reality is many real estate agents project a quality of care and are not necessarily providing what they project they will in a quality of care. This past week, I was representing a purchaser to negotiate a contract for the purchase of a home that they didn't get. They wrote an excellent offer, 20% down with an escalation clause. And they were willing to waive the appraisal and the financing contingency, as well as the home inspection contingency. But they were beaten out by someone who offered cash. Now, I understand that. And as it turns out, that person offered cash on the transaction. And they also offered to settle in 2 weeks, which the agent disclosed to me was of importance because of their client's medical condition. Now, I don't know anything more destructive if for some reason that contract did not work out and I am now made aware that there's a medical condition of her client that made it important for them to settle sooner. I know information that really is unnecessary for me as a buyer agent to be made aware of. It's nobody's business what the seller's health is unless the seller makes it clear that they want that information to be shared. And in this case, I can't imagine a seller ever telling me, yeah, share what I'm going through, or share the fact that I'm struggling physically. Understand that we were the second out of five offers. We were the second best offer. And though they have received and accepted a cash offer, the home seller could have that contract blow up for, I don't know, any number of reasons, because in this business of real estate, things do happen 1 or 2 or 3 days after ratification or a week after ratification. Who knows if there are any contingencies in that offer? Maybe it's cash, but maybe there's a home inspection. What happens if that agent calls me back and says, hey, that offer didn't work out. Was your buyer still interested? I'm now aware of information about that particular seller. And what makes it even more confounding to me is that I know the seller personally. And I was unaware that they were selling and they had a relationship with this agent. But I became aware of something that could turn into gossip. I feel as if it was an inappropriate share of information by that listing agent to me, that I now know something and that could then go around a horn and get shared outside of it. But being that I'm a discreet person and recognize not only the friendship that I have with the person whose information was shared, but also the inappropriateness of what was shared professionally, it stops with me. I bring this up to you because these are the things that I, as a real estate agent, ruminate over in my life. And like you, there are things that happen sometimes day to day in our lives where we meet somebody and we get information, we hear something, and it just sticks with us. And it's like a movie that we've seen, and it really, maybe after you've left the theater for 3 or 4 days, you just think through, how did that happen? I wonder that. And I think we ruminate over these fiduciary aspects of the relationship that a listing agent or buyer agent should have with their client. It's the same law that puts an agency relationship between a husband and wife that they are to look out for each other, protect each other's interests at all costs, die to themselves to help the other party. If one trips, they're there to help them up. If one is sick, they're there to make sure that they are well fed and nourished and cared for in their troubles. It's the same law in real estate between an agent and their seller. It's the same law between an attorney and his client or her client. My job is to protect my client's interests at all times. When I have prospects who ask me questions about why is a seller selling, my response is the same all the time. They're relocating. It's that general. Because frankly, that's what every seller does. They relocate from their home. Where they go is really not the buyer's business. Why would it be important? What would it do to help the buyer understand more about the house that they would love than they already know? Nothing. The house is the house is the house. We're selling the home. We're selling the property. We're not selling the seller. So what the seller is doing or why they're doing it should remain fiduciarily protected. And that is a responsibility of a home seller. And it's also the responsibility of the home seller's agent. If you're a buyer, it's the same thing. You don't want your personal information shared unless it provides substantial advantage in your negotiations. I get letters attached with offers when I present them to my sellers. And sometimes the impact of a letter, a personal story from a buyer about how they love a home, what they love about the house, how they could see themselves living there, what they appreciate about the house, etc. Those kinds of stories can actually affect a home seller's desire to sell a house to that particular buyer, because there's a transfer of not just a pair of shoes, a car, but it's a home where memories were created, and now a new set of memories will be created. And thinking after settlement about how someone may enjoy the house actually provides some comfort to a home seller. Now, as an agent, I have no preference in offer other than which offer is the most financially viable and offers the right terms and benefits to the home seller. Whether there's an impact by a letter or not between the home buyer and the seller, that's something that's crossed between the two of them, although it's delivered by me. And it's a question. Would you like to see a letter that's coming from a buyer? They're telling you what they like about the home, and the home seller has the right to say, no, I don't, or I don't really care. That's up to them. Fiduciarily, I'm here to protect my client, seller or buyer. Here's another example. In a multiple contract scenario, and we had one recently for a property that was listed for $960,000 that ended up selling for $1,026,000, $66,000 over asking. The demand was high for this particular home. And I shared this last week. The home seller had put the house on the market back in February before COVID. They had a modest response. Property backs up to Parkland. Market turned on the afterburners back in May and continued to do so even till now. The seller was able to sell the house for more cash, no inspection, etc. Very strong situation for that seller. I get five offers, and it's up to me to go through the offers and read the offers and then boil things down for the seller and deliver the information about how the buyers can buy. Do they have viability? Have they provided verification of assets? Have they checked off any of the boxes on the financial information sheet that they have no judgments, lawsuits, or liens against them, nothing that could negatively affect their ability to purchase, so that I can then present the offers and then recommend to my client based upon the financial terms which offer I would recommend the most. Now, as a home seller's agent, I'm fiduciarily bound to do that, but while I'm going through the process, I've got five real estate agents breathing down my neck. Do we get it? It's like the birds in Finding Nemo. Is it mine? They're all asking to get an answer. They want to know. They don't want to badger, but they've got buyers behind them and they're pushing me to get an answer. What can we do? Can we make a counter? Can we improve our offer? Can we do this? And as the seller's agent, it's my responsibility to hold these five real estate agents at bay like I would a dam holding back water. Wait. I need to get through the five offers We need to decide which we're going to go with, and then we need to sign that offer, and we need to get it ratified. Once a contract's ratified, then I contact the other agents to let them know, hey, you weren't even close, and here's why. Or here's a contingency that your offer had that made it difficult for your buyer. Giving that other agent enough information to help them with their buyer to go off and buy something else. The second best offer, I just tell them, you were close. You weren't quite there, but stay tuned. Let's get through a few days, and I'll get back in touch with you if something breaks loose on this. Okay? That's fiduciary relationship. In part, I could keep going, but I've got to take a break for our friend, Stuart Rosenthal. Good morning, Stuart.
How are you?
I'm well, Eric. Thank you. Nice to be here.
What do you got on bees? I hear you got an article on bees this month.
Yeah, well, there are some interesting ways of avoiding insect stings, which I didn't know about. This is from Susie Cohen, our pharmacist who writes for us every month. She tells me two things. First, for one thing, don't wear red and don't wear flowery clothes. That those things either attract bees and wasps or they associate them with predators and they get angry, and you don't want that. Also, it's oftentimes things that we put on ourselves normally, like, you know, what we wash our faces with and what we wash our hair with, which attracts these insects and for their stings. So avoid fruit-flavored lip gloss. Don't wear perfume or scented deodorants. Don't use scented shampoo and conditioner. Those are things also to keep in mind. And finally, in terms of your food, beer is a real attraction, as are bananas. So don't have those at your picnic. And if you like, peppermint, spearmint, and eucalyptus and thyme keep wasps away. So that's another natural way of being in getting rid of the insects.
As always, Stuart Rosenthal, thanks for your insight. Stuart, have a wonderful day. Folks, I'm going to have more of the show and Senior Solutions right after this, so don't go anywhere.